We continue 9 lines down from the top of Mem Omid Beis. Allah Shal Chiltis. We said another one of the items that you can purchase from an Ovid Kachavim without any kashrus concern are the chiltis leaves, which again they're connected to the Davar Harif. The chiltis is something which is pungent, it's sharp, and therefore there would be concern. But if you're getting the leaf, not an issue. Pshita, Gemara says, isn't that obvious? Lo nitzrocha ela lekarton shibo. Now what we're concerned about are, as Rashi says, the things which are dvukin be'olav, things which stick to the leaf. So there might be a little pieces of this chiltis which would get stuck to the leaf, make it, and the concern is that maybe the whatever is stuck to the leaf is not from the actual chiltis, from that chiltis, is from something else. Mahu detema nechosh duma maisi umarebe, and then maybe there's a concern that someone is going to bring from the outside other pieces of chiltis and mix it in, and then you're going to be having consuming something which is non-kosher because of the sharpness which is used with the knife. Kamash malan deha istrukehi deistruk va'asabata. To teach us otherwise, we're going to say that basically it slipped off of its own and there's no concern. The whatever is attached to the leaf is from that leaf, and we have nothing to be concerned about that it was something that fell off and it's cut in half and it belongs to, and it's not kosher, it was cut by a non-Jew. That is not a concern about using a non-kosher knife. Okay, the Gemara continues. They say gluskos hamagulgulin. You have these olive cakes. These round olive cakes are also permissible to purchase from an idolater. Gemara says, pshita, isn't that obvious? There's no concern. Gemara says, no, there is a concern. Lo nitzrocha af al gav de rafi tuva. Well, what about a case where it's very soft? Well, if it's very soft, you might be concerned and say, no, you shouldn't purchase it from an idolater. Why? It's a kashrus concern. Mahu detema chamer ramabahu. I might have thought to say that they included wine, they mixed in wine into the cake, that's why it's so soft. Kamash malan, honey machmas mishchu de rafi. No, it's the oil that caused the cake to soften, and therefore there's no concern. Like we know before, we didn't make a gezera on, or the gezera on the shemen Ovid Kochavim was lifted, and therefore there's no concern of purchasing an olive cake from an idolater. Rabbi Yossi Amar Shlachin Asurin. So again, that next part of the Mishnah stated that Rabbi Yossi argued and said that even though in general olive cakes are permissible, but Shlachin Asurin, as Rashi says here, it's Shemishtalchin Garinin Me'atzmo, things that the pits are falling out on its own from the olive, that would make it usher. Now the Gemara says, "Hechi dami shlachin." Give me an example of shlachin. How do you know what the pit is falling out? Rav Yossi bar Chanina, kol she'ochzo biyado v'garin aso nishmetas. If you hold the olive in your hand and the pit just falls right out, that's an issue of mishlachas, and that's where Rav Yossi says shlachin would be usher. But otherwise, olives are permissible to purchase from, even if an olive cake would be permissible to purchase from an idolater. Hachagavin haboin. So we mentioned before that in the Mishnah that there are certain grasshoppers that you can purchase. Kosher grasshoppers that are at the shop, you cannot purchase from an idolater, but in the storehouse, you can. So now the Gemara is going to expand on this. Tanu Rabbanan, hachagavin v'hakafrisin v'hakaflutos haboin mina otzer mina heftik mina sfina mutarim. If they're stored in the storage houses, whether it's on a boat or a warehouse, those are permissible. There's no concern of any wrongdoing, which we'll have to see in a minute. Hanim karn bikatluza lifnei chenvani, but the ones that are sold in the marketplace by a storekeeper, asurin, those you cannot purchase. Those grasshoppers you can't. Why? Mipnei shemizalev yayin aleim, because they pour wine either on the basket or on the grasshopper in order to, I guess, keep it fresh or make it entice people to purchase it. V'chein similarly, yayin tapuchin, apple cider, shel ovdei kochavim, haboin min ha'otar, min ha'heptek, min ha'slula mutarim. If you want to purchase apple cider from an idolater, it's permissible so long as they take it out of the storehouse. But hanimkar b'kadaluza, aser. But if you purchase it at the store, meaning in front of them, the market, you cannot. Why not? V'pnei shem arvin bo yayin, because they will dilute the apple cider with wine. Clearly, we're talking about a situation when the apple cider would be more valuable than the wine, and that's why they're diluting the apple cider with wine. If otherwise, they wouldn't waste their wine on dilute the apple cider. Tanu Rabbanan. So then the question is, well, that means that in certain situations, you would not be able to purchase apple cider from an idolater, or someone that's not reliable. Tanu Rabbanan, Pam Achas Chash Rebbe B'meyav. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi was sick. He had stomach cramps. Amar Klum Yesh Adam Sheyodea Yayin Tapuchin Sheolvik Achav Asr Mutter. Does anyone know the halacha whether apple cider can be purchased from an idolater or not? Amar Lefan of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. Said Rabbi Yishmael, he said, Pam achas chash abba b'meyav. One time my father had a similar stomach ailment. They brought him apple cider from idolaters that were 70 years old. Vishasa, he drank it, vinisrapa, and he got healed. So does that mean that apple cider, that we're not concerned that the apple cider will get mixed in with wine or not? The Braisa was pretty clear that wine is prohibited because the apple cider is prohibited because it gets mixed. The wine is diluted into the apple cider. But here it was okay. Well, clearly it sounds like here the fact that it's 70 years old, there's not a concern. Perhaps the idea is that when it's 70, maybe 70 years before that, the price of wine was more valuable than the apple cider. Who knows? But either way, it was 70 year old wine, and he drank it. Amrullah, clearly he wasn't really sick. If he would be deathly ill, then there wasn't a question. You can eat non-kosher in those situations. It's sakana, pikuach nefesh. Anyhow, Amrlo, kol ka chaya biyadcha v'ata mitzarani, what sold out? You had all this information in front of you for so long, and you didn't tell me until I spoke up? Barku matzo ovik achavim echa chaylo shalosh meos garbi yayin shal tapuchim shal ayin shana v'shasa v'nisrapa. Finally, they looked around, did some research, and they found someone who had a 70-year-old bottle of apple cider. Right? We can relate to it because we have old bottles of scotch that we look for. So he found a 70-year-old bottle of apple cider, and he drank it, and he got better. Amar, he said, Baruch hamakom shemasar olamo l'shomrim. Blessed is God that gives over his world to the shomrim, those who guard him, the protectors, meaning things, people who all hold on to things for a long time. It doesn't mean he should be a hoarder, but certainly they're that people who will hold on to valuable items for a long time. Here, even the apple cider, they held on to it for 70 years, and it made a difference in someone's life to heal him. The Chayin L'Truma, similarly, the Mishnah said, all these halachas apply to Truma as well. What does it have to do with Truma? You're never purchasing Truma from an idolater. So what does that mean? My, Gemara says, v'chein l'truma. My v'chein l'truma. What does that mean similarly with regards to the laws of truma? Amrav sheshes v'chein l'kohen ha'chashud limkor truma l'shem chulin l'fanav hu da'asar abal haba min osar min heptuk min aslula mutter. What it means is that these laws about purchasing from an idolater, that in the store it's prohibited, in the market it's prohibited, but in the storage places that's permissible, seemingly apply to a kohen who we suspect him selling truma as chulin. So I'll tell you, yeah, I have chulin to sell, but it's really truma. So that's prohibited only in the marketplace to purchase it from him. But if he has it in his storage, then you can purchase it from him there. What's the difference? Gemara says, irsusi mirsus. He's concerned, he's afraid to lie with the stuff in his storage house. Why? Savar shami be rabbanon amafsalei minei. Because if the rabbi's here, they're going to confiscate everything in his storage. It's one thing if he has, you know, the little bit of product he has in this marketplace. Okay, it's a big deal. So they'll confiscate it. It's only a couple pounds. But you have a whole storage of grains. He wouldn't take that risk. That is the end of the chapter. Hadranalach in mamirin. Hadranalach in mamirin. Hadranalach in mamirin. So here again, just to conclude, we have a few different scenarios explaining the Mishnah of why the Mishnah needed to list all these items that are permissible to purchase from an idolater when it sounds like it's obvious. Particularly when we had the inverse of all these cases were brought down in the earlier Mishnah that you cannot purchase them from the idolaters when they don't have these qualities. Now it says that you have these qualities, you can. So the Gemara wanted to know why, what was the point? And therefore the Gemara gave explanations why each one was important to list in the Mishnah. And then, yes, there are certain things that you can purchase from an idolater or somebody not reliable, no hechsher needed. But again, practically speaking, we only purchase things from reputable sources with a hechsher, unless the organization says you don't need a hechsher.